Good morning. Thank you for coming out and starting your day with worship. Today we're going to look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We'll start from verse 1 and go to 10. Luke 15, 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors, this is from the NIV. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you have 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for allowing us to wake up again today. We thank you that you have a reason and a purpose for our lives today. And God, we thank you for your grace that is extended to us. And God, we ask that you would just reveal your truth in your heart today. We thank you for your incredible blessing of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The title of maybe this morning's devotion is God Will Not Let You Go. No matter what you do, God will not let you go. I found that true to be in my own life, and there's many testimonies of people who try to wander away from God, but for some reason, the love of God pulls them back somehow. It's a reassurance that no matter how far you go or how far away you go or how far away you may wander from God, that God's love is still there for you, for those who come to them. To understand the true test of love, a true test of love is that the love will still be there even when love is not returned back. A true test if someone loves you is that love will still be there even when the love is not returned. And the amazing quality of God's love is that it is always there. And you see that illustrated very clearly in the life of Jesus. He keeps on loving us even though they nailed him to the cross. Even though they spit on him, they laughed at him, they mocked him, even though they tortured him and ridiculed him, Jesus, in the midst of receiving that injustice, continued to love. And he keeps on loving today. And so even on the cross, he prayed for the forgiveness of those who wronged him. And even though they returned hatred for his love, and that's what they did, Jesus extends love to them, but they returned hatred for his love, he still never withdrew his love for them. And that's God's incredible love. It doesn't matter how far we wander, how long it's been. It doesn't matter how deep our sin is, how great our difficulties and tribulations and trials are. God is still not going to let you go. He's not going to let you go. And so we come to Luke 15, and Jesus is asked by the Pharisees, why do you spend so much time with sinners? Why do you spend so much time with them? And so he tells three stories, and it's recorded in Luke. And so the first story is that he tells about a woman, the second story is he tells about a woman who loses a coin. She only has 10, and out of the 10, she loses one. And Jesus says that the God is like that woman who's searching for a lost coin until she finds it. And that's peculiar because many of us have gone through a circumstance or a situation where we've lost something and we're frantically searching for it. And for this woman, it's just one simple coin. But then he also tells a story previous to that of a shepherd who's counting sheep, and he's counting sheep, and he notices that he's supposed to have 100, but he only has 99. So I'm sure he goes back and he tries to count again and make sure he didn't overcount or miscount, and he counts again, and he's still the same number, 99, and so he realizes that there's one sheep missing, one sheep gone. And so he goes out and he searches until he finds that lost sheep. And he finds that lost sheep, and the Bible says that he celebrates. He puts that sheep on his shoulders and goes home, and he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And so he brings it home. And the illustration that Jesus is trying to say is God is like that shepherd that goes and tries to find the one lost sheep. And when he finds him, he celebrates. He celebrates. He celebrates. Of course, all of us here have lost something, and we frantically tried to find it, whether it be our house keys or maybe a piece of paper with valuable information and things like that, or you've lost something, a wallet or your glasses, your eyeglasses, or you've lost something and you're frantically searching all over the house trying to find it. The question is, what is it that you search frantically for in desperation, so desperate to find it? What kinds of things do you go and try to find it, no matter what the time, no matter what it is? And the answer to that is, you search for things that are of highly valuable to you, of the highest value, that for some reason you value it so much that you've got to find it, that you've got to have it back. You're not going to look for a piece of paper, a receipt that doesn't matter. You're not going to look for a pen that doesn't matter. You're not going to look for things that don't matter. You search frantically and in desperation for things that have the highest value to you. And so here, the shepherd is looking for the sheep. And in my mind, it's like, hey, man, you've got 99. You know, losing one is not a bad return on your investment here. You know, it's not a big deal. You just lost one. And same with the woman who lost the coin. You have 10, you lost one, you still got 9. It's not, you know, you still have 90% of what you originally had. But in the example of these two stories, the person thought it was important enough or valuable enough. Let me say that again. The person thought that what was lost was valuable enough to go search and to go look until he or she found it. And the final story that we don't have time to go through is the story of the lost son, or maybe many of you know it as the prodigal son. And you know the story. There's a father who has two sons, a younger brother, an older brother. The younger brother decides that he wants all of the inheritance now, and he goes out and he misspends it. He wastes it. He parties, and now he's back to having absolutely nothing. And he thinks that maybe if I can go back home, I can, you know, be with the servants and eat the pig's food, and maybe I can do that because I'm desperate, and that's the only option that I can. And so he goes back to the father's house. And we know that in the distance, he's looking for his son every single day, and he sees out in the distance a speck of a person walking, and he thinks that, wow, that person kind of walks like my son and kind of looks like my son, and realizes it's his son, and he comes back, and the son repents and says, I'm sorry, Father, for I've sinned against you. I've wronged you. I did the wrong thing. And in fact, asking for his inheritance is a disrespectful thing and dishonoring to his dad. And then he goes out and he abuses the blessing that his father gave him. And he comes back realizing that he made a huge mistake and he dishonored his father. And he asks for forgiveness. And the response of the dad is wonderful because it embraces him. And he throws a party, brings a robe and cherishes him. Yet the older brother is angry because he's been faithful and diligent. He's done all the right things. Yet, he never got celebrated. And the response of the father is simply, look, you have been with me the whole time, and you've done everything. You've obeyed your orders, and you've done everything. But your brother, your younger brother, was lost, and now he's found. That he was dead, and now he is alive again. And this is sort of the example that Jesus has for us of his love. that he will not let you go, no matter how far into the depths of your problems and your worries that you've gone through, no matter how far away you feel from God. And the reason why he feels this way is because of the value of the thing that was once lost. Sometimes in the news you'll see reports of missing children. Or maybe in the newspapers, or maybe on a tree or on a building, you'll see a sort of a poster or a sign. Have you seen this person? Missing person. And many of us, including myself, will walk past that and not really think much about that. We'll read the newspaper or listen to the news and we'll say, oh, that's too terrible, that's so bad. But it doesn't cause you to go find that person. Yes, it's bad news. A recent story, not that recent anymore, but a girl named Natalie Holloway in Aruba was missing for many months, to the point where, you know what, the probability of her being dead is quite high. But the family, even after those reports from authorities that, look, you know, if she doesn't show up with all of our abilities to find people after all of these months, past a year, she's dead. She's gone. You're not going to find her anymore. Yet they continue to search and they continue to hold out on hope. Why? Because to them, their daughter has of the highest value, and they will continue to search and continue to search until she is found. And in this case, they continue to search until they find her deceased dead body and the bones and the remains. They're continuing to search, and they're going to continue to go. Why? It's because of the object of what was missing and the value to the people trying to search for them. As I've said, when we see these things in the news, when we read in the newspaper, when we see signs on the buildings, it doesn't cause us to search. We don't go finding them because why? That person has no value to us. We don't know this person. And though that's a horrible commentary, the truth is that person isn't a personal friend or personal acquaintance. And so we don't see the value in that human being who is lost. But God looks at all of us and sees the incredible value. And that for those who are lost, he wants you to be found. He wants to demonstrate his love to you. And just like this widow and just like the shepherd, we'll go to any lengths to find you. Will go to any lengths to extend his love for you. He gives you the freedom to walk away. He gives you the freedom to sin against him. He gives you the freedom to hurt him. He gives you the freedom to go in a faraway country and to leave him and stay there forever if you want to. He gives you the freedom to mock him and to laugh at him and to reject him if you want to. But the truth of God's love is that he will still not let you go. He will never, never let you go. I want to finish with this story, and if Gene could come up. After World War II was over, there's a man named Henry Lauder who was a comedian in America, and both of his sons were drafted in the Army. But both of them died in combat. And after the war was over, Henry had just a nervous breakdown, and so he had to go to a doctor to examine him. And the recommendation was complete rest and relaxation. And so he went to the beach, and he would spend his time relaxing on the seashore. And as he would sit there and meditate and look over the ocean, many families would come. And so over a few weeks, the same families would show up, and he came across this little boy. And one night, this boy and Henry were sort of hanging out on the beach. And the sun was going down, and they listened to the waves crashing against the shore, and they continued to gaze their eyes upon the scenery around them. And the boy noticed that the homes along the shore, and some of them had flags on them. And some of the flags had gold stars, and some of the flags had silver stars. And so the little boy asked Henry, "What do you know what those flags mean?" And of course Henry knew, because he had a flag in his house. And he said, well, those flags mean that there's somebody in the house that went to war. And if they had a silver star, it means that their son died in combat. But if they had a gold star, that means that they came safely home. And so you'd see homes with different flags, some of them with gold stars, meaning that the kids came safely home, the sons came safely home, and other homes with silver stars, meaning that they lost a son in battle. And so they walked further along the beach, and as the nighttime came upon them, the little boy looked up to the sky, and he saw the first evening star of the night. And he said, "Look, there's a star in God's sky. And it's a silver star. Does that mean that God's son went to war?" And Henry stood there for a moment trying to catch his breath and said, "Yes. It means that God sent his son into war. In fact, it was the greatest war that has ever been fought. And yes, the star is silver in the sky because God's son died in combat." There's no doubt that we are in a spiritual war, and in more ways than people realize. But in the midst of all the tragedies and in the midst of all the difficulties and in the midst of all the certainties that come our way, I think there's no better message of reassurance than to say that God's love will never let you down, that God's love will never let you go, and that God's love is always here for us, no matter how far away we feel from him. That is what he's trying to explain to us in Luke chapter 15. Because of how valuable you are, you may think that you're far away. You may think that you've taken a break from God. You may think that you're not even close to God right now. But the truth of the matter is, God's love is there for you because of the value you are to him, that he will continue to search after you. The Bible says that we love because he first loved us. And he's continuing to look for us, searching after us, inviting us to come, inviting us to come, inviting us to come. Would you this morning come into his presence, come into his love? Ask him, come back to him. And the Bible says that he's there for you. How do I know that? Because of the love that he demonstrated on the cross. Even in the midst of crucifixion, he forgives his wrongdoers. And he says, come, enter into rest. So let's bow our heads. And before we sing, just come before him and say, God, I don't know where I am in this life. I don't know what's going on in this life. But if you have that kind of love to offer me, I would like that right now. Go ahead and spend some time with Jesus.
To be
sing Refiner's Fire?
Refiner's Fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to
Lord, may you, your love surround us this morning as we have many things to do, many things to think about. But God, I pray that your love would go before us. And God, give us the strength, God, to carry out your will. We ask for your grace today. Let's intercede for our community. And as with the same love that Christ demonstrated for us, the love that won't let us go. And so... as we pray for these people on the screen, we pray for them every single day. But let's demonstrate our love that won't let go until the end. And so let's pray for those with cancer, those going through chemotherapy right now, those who need a transplant. And so let's lift them up and ask God to heal them and ask God to restore them. And so let's lift them up by name. Let's pray for them right now. Let's lift up those who still haven't received the love of Christ and haven't received salvation. And so they're struggling with illness and sickness and disease. So let's lift them up and other infirmities. But let's also pray for those who still need salvation and still need the love of God and still need to receive that in their hearts. So let's lift them up today. Thank you. Let's pray for those who are unemployed and looking for jobs and need God to open doors. And let's stand in the gap and let's pray and ask the Lord to provide for them. So let's pray for those whose names are on the screen. And even those that you know are looking for work, let's ask God to do a miracle through their lives. And so let's pray for them. Let's pray for our mission focus, and let's pray for China, and especially SP Beijing. Pastor Sam and Annie are actually here for a few days in Hong Kong, and so let's lift them up, and let's pray for the Chong family, for Matt and Neat's parents, Pastor Rabba's, Nian, Needy, GGR Kids, the government, and the churches. Let's ask the Lord to do something special through the people that and the connections that we know, and let's ask God to just bring revival to churches, and let's ask God to support and provide for all of them. So let's lift them up right now. Lift up a couple mission trips that are going this week and beginning of next week. Let's lift up Cambodia Worship Conference. Pastor Nate's leading that. And let's pray for the Hunan trip. Jamie Donaldson's leading that. And let's ask the Lord to truly bring people in contact with them that they need to experience the love of God. So let's pray for these trips. Let's lift up the SP staff and the board of directors and the mission committee, and let's pray for wisdom, and let's ask for unity, and let's ask God to truly use them and strengthen them, and let's bless them. And so let's pray for our SP staff, board, and missions committee. Let's lift up Phoebe Ministry, which is the Indonesian ministry of our church, and it's a powerful ministry. And so let's pray for the sisters there, and let's pray for Pastor Salma and his family, that they would continue to grow in the midst of persecution. And obviously their ministry is primarily to Muslims, and so let's ask the Lord to really use Phoebe Ministry to bring people into the love of Jesus. Let's lift up the Korean church and let's ask God to bring unity among the leadership there, and let's ask the Lord to use them as a lighthouse in the community. So let's lift up these two ministries right now. Father, we thank you for Lord, there are many things on our mind, and there are many things that we struggle with each and every day. But God, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your grace. And God, I pray in the midst of all the things running through our minds and in our heads, God, that you would give us some understanding and peace in our lives today. God, we want to go forth this morning with your presence before us. And God, help us to recognize that you are in the midst of all that we do. God, help us to recognize your love today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to stay and pray and seek God's face and contend and intercede and just enjoy this time of devotion to the Lord. Hope you have a wonderful day today, and we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.